You're listening to Leading and Learning. This is the place where we talk about practical leadership, theology, fitness, how to create winning habits, and so much more. My name's David Spell, and I'm a retired police officer, a pastor, a New Testament scholar, and a leadership coach. My goal on Leading and Learning is to help you live your best life. Thanks so much for joining us today. Welcome back to Leading and Learning. This is episode number 457. How can I think differently? How can I think differently? Craig Groeschel, in his best-selling book, Winning the War in Your Mind, Change Your Thinking, Change Your Life, says that our lives move in the direction of our strongest thoughts. Listen to that quote again. Our lives move in the direction of our strongest thoughts. Well, that's a fascinating, fascinating quote. Now, let's put that in context here, because depending on which study you look at, the average person has between 20 and 60,000 thoughts every day. That's a lot of things flowing around inside our heads. And again, it depends on which study you read. There's some variation in there, but that's probably a pretty good consensus, between 20 and 60,000 thoughts a day. Now, what I find fascinating is 80% of those, and this is for most people, 80% of those 20 to 60,000 thoughts are negative. So of all the thoughts you have, the vast majority of them tend to be negative. The Apostle Paul said this, talking about our thought life, talking about how we should think. He said, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." This verse has become something that I've been meditating on now for a while, and I try, and I'm not successful very often, but I'm working towards letting this be the filter I run my thoughts through. Like I said, it doesn't happen all the time, but I'm definitely making some improvement working towards that. But it gives me something to realize that if I don't have a filter to run things through, I can very easily, just like we said, default to thinking negative things. You know, our thoughts are always taking us somewhere. They're often taking us places that we don't want to go. And that's why the Apostle Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 10. He said, "We should take every thought and make it obedient to Christ." Take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. You know, we've talked to people, we've got friends in our lives, and maybe even you have trouble controlling your thoughts sometimes. Things can quickly spiral out of control in our minds, and we can go to worry, or we can go to fear, or we can go to anger, or we can go to resentment. Or we can take those thoughts captive, and we can have a peaceful mind. You know, both negative thoughts and positive thoughts are incredibly powerful. What's the soundtrack that's running through your head? You know, we all have self-talk. We all have that soundtrack playing. Is yours mostly positive, or is yours mostly negative? Or maybe it's a little bit of both. I think a lot of people find it's a little bit of both. But then again, there are times in my life when it's just negative. And when I'm on the right track, when I'm going in the right direction, I try and get it to where it's mostly positive. But what is it in your life? The results of not taking our thoughts captive are many. We can end up in improper relationships. We can end up giving way to worry and anxiety. We can allow guilt from the past to occupy our thoughts. We can allow depression to set in. I've been there. I'm sure probably some of you have too. We can allow an offense to destroy a friendship. Our thoughts will lead us into darkness or into light. You know, one of the keys to shifting the way that we think is really a spiritual transformation. Paul says that our lives are transformed by the renewing of our minds. In Colossians 3, he says, "Set your minds on things above." Listen, we don't accidentally shift our minds. We don't accidentally renew our minds. We don't accidentally drift into the life that God wants us to live. We have to learn how to do it intentionally. From a theological point of view, talking to people of faith, we understand that we become a Christian in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye. In that moment, we say yes to Jesus and we surrender our lives to Him. And that's the theological word called justification. We're put right with God. But the other word, and this is the one we struggle with, especially where our thoughts are concerned, is this word called sanctification, because it takes the rest of our lives. It involves the renewing of our minds and renewing how we think, changing those thought patterns. So listen, I want you to hang on. Got just a quick announcement here. And when we come back, I'm going to give you 5 ways that we can learn to think differently. All right, this episode is brought to you by 2 books. The first one by Craig Groeschel. If you don't know who Pastor Craig is, he's pastor of Life Church. His church is one of the biggest churches in America. They're also the ones who are responsible for the YouVersion Bible app. And if you're not on YouVersion, you need to be. I think it's the best Bible app out there. I use it every single day. I'm a huge fan of Pastor Craig's. He has a leadership podcast, incredible materials, and his book, Winning the War in Your Mind, Change Your Thinking, Change Your Life, will be an incredible help to you. So check it out. Click on the link. I believe you can read a little bit for free, but by all means, grab a copy. It's available in multiple formats, and I encourage you to check it out. And while we're talking about great books, I also want you to check out my novel, Actionable Intelligence. I'm starting to get some great feedback on this one. It's a great story. It's in the Chuck McCain series. I believe this was volume 3 or 4, but I really think you'll enjoy the action-packed story contained in these pages. If you like exciting books, strong characters, really bad villains, then check out Actionable Intelligence, because I know you will love it. All right, well, we're back, and we're talking about learning to think differently. How can we change the way we think? And I alluded to this verse just a few minutes ago. I gave you just a little partial quote, but let me read you the whole section here, because it's so powerful. This is from Romans 12, and Paul says this, "So, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God." Well, that's good. Giving our bodies to God is an important thing because of all He has done for us. "Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him." But then catch this. This is verse 2. "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know what God's will is for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." Did you catch that? Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. How powerful is that? So I want to give you 5 thoughts, 5 tips, 5 keys for beginning to change the way we think. First of all, I encourage you to meditate on God's Word. Now, Christianity is a surprise to many people, emphasizes the importance of meditation, but Christianity's type of meditation is very different from the New Age transcendental meditation that you might have heard about. In Christianity, instead of emptying our minds, we're filling it with God's Word. And the best way to meditate is finding a verse or a passage of Scripture and keeping it at the forefront of your minds all day long. The way I do this is in the mornings when I'm reading the Bible. I always have some time in the morning when I'm reading God's Word and praying, maybe reading one of those devotional plans from the YouVersion plan that we talked about. And I'll try and pull something out of that day's reading, and then I'll think about it, and I'll pray about it, and I'll chew on it throughout the day. It doesn't mean I'm always thinking about it. I mean, we all have lives to live, work and families and different activities going on. But throughout the day, at different moments, I'll pull that verse out and chew on it and meditate on it and think about it. What is God saying to me in this verse? What is God saying to me in this passage? And I always try and pull out something that's going to be practical for me. A while back, I was meditating on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This is from Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. And so I was trying to meditate on those. And I got in the car to go to the gym, and I hadn't been on the road 5 minutes, and somebody pulled in front of me and cut me off. And, you know, I don't know about you. You're probably better Christians than I am, but I felt something rise up inside of me, and it wasn't the Holy Spirit. And immediately, I felt this chastisement in my heart, and I caught myself, and I went back to what I'd been meditating on the last few days, and I immediately, instead of saying what I wanted to say or waving at them the way I wanted to wave at them, I just thought, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Holy Spirit, help me to have these things in my life. And within just a few seconds, my anger dissipated, and I was able to go on without, you know, being an unkind person. So anyway, that's just one simple little example, kind of a goofy example. But those things, meditating on the Scripture, hiding it in our hearts, chewing on it, because that was what popped up in my anger. Instead of, you know, responding the way I would normally respond, I had a choice, and I remembered the passage of Scripture that I've been meditating on. So I just, again, began to speak it and pray it. So I encourage you, meditate on God's Word. It will transform your thoughts. Confess God's Word. Speak God's Word over your world. Speak God's Word over your family, over your children, over your job. Speak the promises of God every chance you get. There is such power in confessing and speaking God's Word. Maybe you're praying for your children and you're just not sure how. You want to pray protection around them. Find passages of Scripture that talk about God protecting His children. You know, if you're believing God for a miracle in your finances, confess what the Word of God says about your finances. We're not talking about the name it, claim it stuff. We're talking about the promises of God that say that He's going to meet our needs when we're being generous. When we're doing our part, when we're giving generously, God has promised that He's going to meet our needs and take care of us and bless us. And so confess that over your life and begin to see what happens. Because I promise you, look, I confess bad things over myself all the time. You know, maybe you don't do that, but sometimes I'll think something and I'll say something, oh man, you're so dumb. Why would you do something like that? Why would you say something so bad? Or why would you, maybe it's just me, but sometimes I can be very, very negative with myself. But when I begin to confess God's Word, who I am, whose child I am, what He has for my life, things begin to shift. The third one, pray God's Word. Pray God's word. Here's another one I've been meditating on. This is from 1 Thessalonians 5. Pray without ceasing. It says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, that can be difficult, but that has become my prayer. When I'll come up against a difficult situation, when I'll come up against a challenge in some area of life, I'll kind of try and drop back and go, God, your word says rejoice evermore. And this is not a situation that I feel like rejoicing over. Your word says pray without ceasing. And I don't even know how to do that, God, but help me to learn how to pray without ceasing and give thanks in every situation. God, I don't want to give thanks for this. It doesn't look good, but your word says do it. So I thank you that you're working behind the scenes in my life. So when I begin to pray God's word, something is happening, not just in my head, but something is happening in my heart. Remember, we're talking about learning how to think differently. God's word is powerful. It says in Hebrews, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And so there's power there. And when we put it into practice in our lives, things begin to shift. Number four, apply God's word. Apply it in your life. I think that's probably what I was doing when I was trying to meditate on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I don't feel like being loving and joyful and peaceful. I want to be angry and mad at this person that cut me off. But we begin to learn to apply God's word. And maybe the Holy Spirit speaks to you as you're going through your day about something you said to somebody that was unkind. And maybe in that situation, applying God's word means going back and saying, hey, I said something that I shouldn't have said. I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? Or I had a really bad attitude. And there's no excuse for it. Would you please forgive me? Well, that's applying God's word. That's putting it into practice. And that's a real key to renewing the way we think and a move towards spiritual maturity. And then the last one, number five, memorize God's word. Think about it, memorize it, put it into your mind so that it can become real. I think scripture memorization is kind of a lost art. When I came to Christ in the 70s, and I know that was a long time ago, but that was actually a very important part of what a lot of Christians did. They would learn to memorize scripture and hide it in our hearts. And we don't talk about it as much, but there is such power in memorizing God's word. Find a few key verses and memorize them. It will transform your thinking. Because what I've found is over the years as I've memorized scripture, it just comes at the right time. When I need it, the Holy Spirit brings it up. But if I don't put anything in, I'm not giving him anything to work with. So memorize God's word. So I encourage you, if you find yourself struggling about thinking about negative things, worry, impure thoughts, unforgiveness, learn to apply God's word to that situation. That's what we're talking about here. Applying God's principles begin to shift our thinking. And it can't be the kind of thing where we say, well, look, I tried that once and it didn't work. So these five things, meditating on God's word, confessing God's word, praying God's word, applying God's word, and memorizing it, are real keys to help us shift the way we think. You know, it took us years to get messed up, to get screwed up in our thinking. And it may take us a little while to learn to think differently. But God's word, as we said, is living and active, and the Holy Spirit is willing to work and really work with us if we're willing to make the effort to shift the way we think. You know, our thought patterns can be strong. Sometimes they come even, maybe there's even generational issues there. My granddad was an angry man, and my dad was an angry man, so I'm just an angry man as well. And so that's valid. There's a lot of truth in that. It doesn't mean it can't be broken. It just means we've got to be willing to put in the work and cooperate with the Holy Spirit. These things don't change easily, but remember, we're in this for the long haul. And, you know, there's different ways to shift our thoughts. There's books out there. There's tapes. There's things you can download to listen to. There's podcasts. But God's word is the tried and true thing that's been working for years. So as we wrap up today, here's a question. What area of your thought life do you struggle with the most? And what is one thing that you could do to change that area? Well, I'm going to stop there. I would love to hear from you. If this was helpful to you, if you have any questions or comments, go to davidspell.com and leave a question or a comment in the comment section for today's post. While you're there, make sure you sign up to get my free newsletter so that we can stay in touch. And make sure you check out our resources for today, because I know they will be helpful to you and you will enjoy them. Well, friends, thanks for being with me. See you next time on Leading and Learning. Thank you.